Federal Bank and Trust, because your home should be within reach. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Many heating and cooling companies talk about big paydays, but here's what they don't say. With flat rate pay, if you're in training, you're not paid. Doing paperwork, not paid. Cleaning the shop, not paid. Warranty callbacks often aren't paid either. And during slow season, good luck. Some technicians end up making less than minimum wage when the hours aren't there. At Lee Heating and Cooling, we refuse to operate that way. If you're a journeyman who believes in doing the job right, not just fast, Lee Heating and Cooling is hiring. Built on integrity, paid by the hour.
Doug, my truck works on a ranch.
So basically it's a mobile dirt collection system.
Inside and out.
Then it needs the detail shop at Waring Chevrolet.
You've seen ranch trucks before?
Let's just say nothing surprises us.
Hay, mud, dog hair?
That's normal Tuesday, Bob.
My truck might actually shine again.
That's detailing the Waring way. The kind that keeps people coming back, Bob.
Call the Waring Chevrolet Detail Shop, 673-6794, 409 Broadway in Sheridan.
Here's a fun fact. You're likely within 5 miles of your nearest H&R Block right now. That means you never have to go out of your way to get your taxes out of the way. File with the confidence and convenience you deserve this tax season with the original tax experts at H&R Block. Visit the office at 1307 Coffeen or call 307-672-9787.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Hey, April 9th, from the foot of the Bighorns in Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. And this morning, we're joined by Sheridan City Councilor Greg Luman and Parks Director Steve Gage. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Welcome back, guys. It's always good to see both of you. Greg, I feel like I haven't had you in here in forever.
I know. That's what I was thinking when I came down this morning. I was like, man, I haven't seen Floyd in a while. It's going to be good to catch up.
And it's always great to have you in here, Steve. And what's really funny, I've talked to people in the past, and they said, boy, you get Steve Gage on that show, and you two just kind of start going at it. Don't have to ask too many questions at many other people.
There's a lot to talk about this time of year.
And there always is. And one of the things that I've talked about in the past, I have an affinity with grass, just green grass.
Yeah.
I love it. I can remember my second place was just a yard of hard compacted dirt because the people who owned it previously had two massive dogs.
Yeah.
And they just pounded it to nothing. So I got in there and with my own two hands, I didn't even have one of those tillers.
Yeah.
I got that grass growing.
Yeah.
And it was the best looking yard in the neighborhood by the time we moved. I did that twice in my life.
Yeah.
Because the next house I own, same thing. I thought, well, I'm not going to have a barren desert out there. But that yard was a little bit bigger. I had to have a party.
Yeah.
I bought a couple cases, invited the guys over, and we got her done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Growing grass has always been, just something very important to me. I don't know why. My father had a great yard as well.
Yeah.
And when I got home from across the mighty sea, that's the first thing I did. I walked up to the first yard right down there in Mississippi, and I took a handful of that grass, and I rubbed it together just to smell it.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. It's a core memory for me now.
Takes a lot of work, though, doesn't it?
It takes so much. I don't think people really, because most yards are established.
Yeah.
And you buy your house now, you get in there, maybe you want to improve it a little bit, but yeah, going from nothing to something green and beautiful and soft that your kids can run around in their bare feet. That was my goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wanted to be in my yard, my bare feet.
Yeah.
And every time I'm walking through one of the parks here, I appreciate that hard work that I know it takes to make it like that.
Yeah. And I want to say about 6 or 7 years ago, we took a second look at what we were doing with our turf and I spent some time and I was over in Cody, of all places. And I really appreciated what they were doing over there because a lot of their turf and their parks looked really nice. And so I contacted their superintendent over there. I said, what do you guys do? And we talked for a long time and he just took me through their process and some of the equipment that they used. And so we picked up on their process was, you know, which was a lot more, and they were basic things, but we just hadn't really done that in our parks. I think since I had gotten into our division here with Parks and Sheridan. And so we took a lot more time. We started aerating, you know, seeding, watch what we were doing with our water a lot more. And it's just really paid off. Mm-hmm. You know, but we also have to adhere to our budgets.
Yeah.
So what we do is we try to rotate our parks like every other year. You know, we can't aerate every year. We can't afford seed every year, fertilizer for our parks. So we try to rotate them every other year. We'd like to do them all, but with budget restraints, you know, we have to do what we can do. But it's really shown.
Yeah.
So over the course of the last 5 years, I've really noticed the quality of our turf and our parks is a lot better than it used to be when I came into our park system 10, 15 years ago. And it's really made a difference.
And we're going to talk about the work that's going on now, because I'm sure some people, if you've blown out a line or two, some people have heard what's happening already, because that is actually a lot louder than what people think it's going to be. But this time last year, you and I were talking, and I implemented in my own yard something that you told me to do. Don't start watering yet.
Yes.
It looks like you should be.
Yes.
But don't. Strengthen that grass. Yep. Get that grass to that root to really reach down into that soil.
Yeah.
And that's what I did.
Yeah. You don't want surface roots, right?
Right.
You want those roots to really dig deep. You want them to go down and strengthen. You want them to search for that water, which is down a little bit, right? Because once it starts to dry out a little bit, your water's deep. You want those roots to search for that water and become stronger and go down. And, you know, that's what we talked about last year. Yep. Is people tend to do that. And, you know, those old timers and the people that know about watering will tell you, you don't really need to water your yard on an average year. Maybe this year a little bit more. We haven't had as much moisture. But on an average year, average rainfall spring, you shouldn't have to water your lawn much before June 1st. And you'll see folks out there mid-April. Yeah. They're cranking their lawns on late April. You know, maybe if you're trying to get some seed growing or something in May and you're trying to do a little bit more, maybe you need to spritz your lawn a little bit. But boy, that hardcore watering, you don't need to start that in April. You've got enough moisture in your lawn. So that's the old rule is, you know, unless it's dry, you may need to this year a little bit more. But June 1st is sort of the old rule, end of May maybe.
I had one other question for you, and it might not be one that you have to deal with too much, but I know that you've dealt with it. And that's the patches that dogs will leave in the yard by just going out and doing what they do.
Yeah.
You'll see they almost look dead.
Yep.
Now, most of the time, those are gone by midsummer.
Yep.
But is there a trick? Is there something you know that could add to that? Or is that just the way it's going to be?
The way it's going to be. But, you know, some people will sort of dig those up. You can dig some of those patches up, reseed them, you know, put some fresh soil into those because sometimes they get pretty saturated.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a few in my yard, and some years you just need to sort of dig those up and just re-put some fresh soil, reseed those up. Sometimes that's all you can do if they get really to that really saturated stage.
Yeah.
That might be the end all.
To the point where they're just not coming back anymore.
Yeah, they might not come back, yeah.
All right.
Get a new dog.
Smaller dog.
Yeah. There you go. Get a smaller breed.
Yes.
All right. Councilman, can you give us an overview of what spring looks like in the city of Sheridan right now?
Right now we're getting prepared. We just talked about and approved the community cleanup, Trees for Trash. They happen to be on the same day, which is May 2nd this year. So getting all ready for that. And I know the Parks Department's involved in that, but that's also a big part of the landfill because now that's your opportunity to bring trash up there and get a, what is it this year? It's a seeding mountain ash tree. And you guys are a big part of that too, because you provide that to the landfill to give out. And that's awesome.
I'll tell you what, Jim looks forward to this every year. This is probably one of his most favorite events.
Yep, and I think it was Councilman Andrew Patzig was saying how he had one of those trees, and I think he's still going after 4 or 5 years here.
Fantastic to hear.
And I know I've planted a few in my day too. So, it's a great program. We get a lot of volunteers that come in and help just beautify the city, and you'll see those areas that need to have a little more attention along the creek and that sort of thing. Got to be careful about getting in the creek because that just brings up sediment and everything, and they really don't like to send that sediment down to the fish downstream.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to cleaning up after winter, winter debris, something that I guess we've all seen, but I never really had the forethought to categorize it. Winter debris, a lot of this probably gravel, rocks, I would think. And we haven't had a lot this year. But when you've got to plow things, it kind of piles up. These trash can be in this big pile. But once the snow's gone, you've got this kind of mess.
Mm-hmm.
City crews clean those up?
Yeah. I mean, there's just things. It can be anything. It can be, you know, snow from the pathway systems, you know, that need to be. We take brooms out and brush debris and anything. It can be stuff in parks. Like you said, we haven't had a lot of snowfall this winter, but it's a lot of tree, you know, debris that we get.
Oh, wow.
You know,
yeah.
That we get, especially some of these late snowfalls that we get, these heavier ones. We get a lot of stuff that just needs to be cleaned up out of the trees and stuff. So we'll have crews. Our regular maintenance crews start on that stuff now. And it's like we sort of talked about last year is, you know, we always joke that once the warm weather hits, you know, our community members are out in the parks and they're sort of ready. They're ready for parks to have that look. Boom. You know, parks should, they're ready to go. So we have to sort of be ahead of that and know that that's coming. So we're out there now sort of doing that, you know, spring cleanup. It's hard to believe it's only the first week in April, but we have to sort of be ready for the public to be out and, you know, they're ready to enjoy things. So we're sort of doing that spring cleanup. Mowing will probably start to happen by the end of, I would say, next week.
Oh, wow.
Know, that grass is, it's getting there. It's a little uneven. We'll get out and sort of even things up a little bit. But then within 2 weeks, you know, usually by the third week in April, we're starting to mow grass and making that happen. So, yeah, spring cleanup is here. We've hired the last of our seasonal staff. We've got about 25 to 30 seasonal staff ready to go for the spring. Some of them will come after college, mid-May. Most of them are 1st of June. So as we say in parks, we will hang on until reinforcements get here into the middle of May. So, and then cleaning of landscape beds and mulch beds for trees and stuff will begin. The guys are out cleaning, Clark and Pete and his crews with the forestry crews. So they're starting to work on that stuff. So, yeah, it's very, very busy time for us. It's full speed ahead right now. So here we go.
On that, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. I got to get something fixed in here. We're going to have more with the city just after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Ready to level up your career?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, our people are our greatest strength, and we're hiring full and part-time tellers to join our team.
Enjoy great pay, outstanding benefits, and a culture that empowers and supports you every step of the way.
Because at First Federal, we invest in you with the tools, training, and opportunities to grow both personally and professionally.
Take the next step at eFirstFederal.bank and discover a career that truly invests in you.
First Federal Bank and Trust is an equal opportunity employer.
God bless the USA, where the right to bear arms will not be infringed upon. The Sky Blue Gun Show is this weekend at Metro Park. Friday from 1 to 6 p.m., Saturday 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday 9 a.m. to 2. You can buy, sell, or trade your way through this can't-miss show, now offering 15 chances to spin to win amazing prizes all weekend long. Bring your family to the Sky Blue Gun Show this weekend at Metro Park. Sponsored by Montana-made Lone Mountain Coolers, Osprey Optics, and Rocky Mountain Rain Custom Ammunition Boxes.
Hi, Kurt Smith here for the Sheridan Commercial Company. Come see our office supply department where we have over 16 chairs in stock and ready for your home or office, and they're all on sale. From office desk chairs to gaming chairs in a variety of styles, features, and sizes. Not only will you find a great selection of office chairs, we have the staples for your stapler and the paper for your printer. A great selection of pens, pencils, and markers. Need office supplies? You can shop at SheridanCommercial.com or here at 303 Broadway, 7 days a week.
Cat's Glasses comes to the YO Theater tonight, offering an electrifying mix of American folk and soul. They deliver music that is heartfelt with high energy. This rising band has been winning hearts across the region with rich harmonies, infectious rhythms, and a sound that's both timeless and fresh. Enjoy a night of pure musical joy with Cat's Glasses at 7 o'clock tonight. Tickets are available now at the YO box office or online at yotheater.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're sitting with Sheridan City Councilor Greg Luman and Parks Director Steve Gage. Now, we're talking about bringing some of that grass back. It's almost time to mow, folks. You're going to see some of your seasonal workers out there getting things done. It kind of blows my mind that we're already mowing. Steve, we have had a really light winter this year, and although we've had a couple good storms, I'd say this spring, does water concern you at all?
Not yet.
I've gotten that answer from a lot of folks.
Not yet. I think it's just a bit early to panic. I think we're doing okay. We've gotten some good snow in the mountain over the last couple of weeks, and I think word out is that we're doing okay.
We're doing okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I think we're doing okay.
Before that last moisture, they said we were at like 75 or 80% of the snowpack that we needed.
And that was before that.
Yeah. And I know the mountain got a pretty good dump. So
Now we touched on the city cleanup just a little bit, but one of the things that I did want to kind of go over real fast. I know I've talked to other city council members about this before, but I do want to touch on it again. Is this part of like the free landfill day, city cleanup, trees for trash, all kind of taking place around the same time?
Yes.
All right. What can I not bring to the landfill, sir?
Okay, there are a few things. Well, you're allowed a ton, which that's for each trip, that's quite a bit. Yes, you're allowed a ton. And that is, again, per visit without a charge. There are some things like tires, obviously, anything with Freon, and then commercial waste. So, your industrial type stuff. If you've got hazardous, household hazardous waste, that's something that you need to make in another appointment. They may take small quantities that day, but they like to do that when they have it designated and you make an appointment to do that.
Now, I know we haven't talked about this, but I can't not ask about this with someone with as much fireman experience as you have, and that is those lithium batteries.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize, hey, this thing's cooked out. Let's just throw it away.
Yeah,
those things are dangerous, aren't they?
Oh, yes, very much so. And so disposing of them correctly. I know there's a few places in town that will take them for free of charge. You just can drop them off. Power tools, that's where I end up with, you get the big ones.
Yeah.
The big thing though is don't leave them plugged in all the time. They can overheat and start fires, which we have been on quite a few. So the maintenance of it and where you plug it in, you know, continuous charge, it can do that with your phone. I mean, if you leave your phone plugged in all the time as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, once it's charged, unplug it. If you're not charging it, unplug it. But those batteries, yeah, they can be a definite hazard. A regular battery, I remember we had a sheriff's deputy that had some in his glove box, and they happened to touch ends, and it started a fire in the glove box.
Wow.
So you can think about just a common battery. Now it'd go to the lithium, and it's a pretty good deal that you need to keep an eye on.
And so as you're gathering up things in the shop, maybe even some toys come with those things nowadays, mm-hmm. or those rechargeable batteries that actually make things much more economical and more convenient for all of us, they are dangerous. They've got to be disposed of correctly, folks. Don't throw those in the landfill. They can cause a fire, even when you think that there's no power in there. And there's enough that can make a very, very serious problem. Now, for those who don't know, sir, could you just kind of go over what the Trees for Trash program is?
Basic, on a basic level, what it is you, on this day, the May 2nd of this year, you bring your trash up to the landfill. It's free to dispose of it. And then you get a tree on your way out. And in the hopes that you'll plant it and make the community greener. It's an awesome program. Like I said, it's in conjunction with Shared Media. And last year, I know for the cleanup, the community cleanup side of it, that there were 131 volunteers on 12 teams, and they collected 400 pounds of waste from the community, just in general cleaning up, which is awesome because I don't know if I'm a big, I grew up in the 80s. So,
yeah,
you know, give a hoot, don't pollute.
Yep.
That was my motto. And that was my thing. And it still is, because you'll see me picking up garbage everywhere.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. I think I was geared towards that when I grew up in the 70s, 80s.
You know, it's actually really odd that we talk about that now, because my wife takes the dogs for a walk every night. And last night she kind of had a gut full of it, and she took a bag with her. And she came back with more than a bag full of trash, just from her little route, which is right up the street, turn around, come back. But she found that much. If you take a bag out there and you start picking things up, if you start looking for it, you suddenly start to see how much there really is sitting out there.
And you'll get a honk every once in a while, and a big thumbs up if you're out there picking up garbage. The people honk at you and give you a thumbs up and give a hoot and holler. So give a hoot.
give a hoot.
Anyway, so.
I think it's great, but it's one of those situations where you don't think you're making that much of a difference, and you really are. Mm-hmm. You truly are. You know, when people are driving around, you can tell which neighborhoods people get out there and really take care of, and which ones some people don't. Mm-hmm. So make yours that neighborhood. Now, switching on down the line, Sagebrush Community Garden. Have we ever talked about this?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe not.
I don't know if we have. Yeah. What is Sagebrush Community Garden?
So, yeah, Sagebrush Community Garden. Gosh, it's hard to believe it's been 15 years that garden has been there. So it's up in the next to Sagebrush Elementary School, adjacent there. It got started, I believe, in 2009 was the first year that got pulled together by a group of folks, and they approached the city. There was a vacant lot up there. In that area. And so they created a space, and there's about 45 to 50 plots there, depending on the year. We've resized them over the years, you know, depending on our needs. And those plots range from anywhere from, you know, a couple hundred square feet to 2,000 square feet.
There's
a couple of them for folks up there. and we fill them most years. It does really well. We have some returners that come back, and those folks are just very proud of what they do up there. And so every year, you know, there's 5 to 10 to a dozen open gardens, and some folks come and try it. And sometimes they just try it for a year and they realize, you know, it's not for them because, you know, as we know, gardening's a lot of work.
Yes,
you know?
It is.
And yeah. We always try to tell those new folks, you know, start small. Yeah. You know, just bite off a little bit, see how you like it. And, you know, and if you're enjoying it and then the next year you want to do a little bit more, we can upgrade you. You know, yeah. We can do another 100 or 200 square feet and get you into something a little larger. But start small. And the folks that have been there for a while, boy, they know what they're doing and they're there to help. And so we have a committee, a garden committee, and they're there to help folks. And so the new people there, there's an orientation every year, and they do that in May. So if you buy a new plot, they're there to help, and they'll show you around, and they've got a lot of experience and a lot of ideas. And that's really the great thing about the garden. They want to pass those things down. They want to see those new gardeners succeed. And it's a cool place. If you've never been there, and to show up there about mid-July and see what that place looks like, it's blooming, you know, and they've got sunflowers. They're 12 feet high. And that place just explodes in the middle of summer and it's full. And so, yeah. And if you're interested, so the returning gardeners have till like the end of February to sign up. And then after that, you know, new gardeners can come in 1st of March and look for a plot, and they can get a hold of the Parks Department, you know, get on the city website and drop down, take a look at the Parks Department, give us a call, and we can fix you up with some of those committee members, and they can show you what we have available up there. And then usually we can start planting up there. The Parks Department will do tilling for you for a fee. You know, it's a $10 fee. We'll come in, till up a plot for you. And then the fees for those plots are just, you know, based on the square footage and the size of those. It's a pretty small fee. Like you can get a couple hundred square feet for $25 or so.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really not much. And then the season basically runs from, you know, May 1st till the fall, you know. And then really all we ask you to do at the end of the season is just sort of, you know, clean up your plot. They'll have a day where everybody comes in and they help each other and they clean the plots up. And the city just supplies, you know, a green waste container so you can throw everything away at the end of the year. The city supplies the water for that. So there's an irrigation system. And then all we ask is, you know, you don't leave your water on overnight, and, you know, responsible watering. And everybody sort of looks out for everybody up there. And it's really a neat community thing that happens up there. So,
and that's really the key word. It's Sagebrush Community Garden, but the community around it sounds like being a part of that would just be fun.
Yeah. And it's not work, you know, the Parks Department oversees it, but it's not a lot of work for us. You know, we sort of get them rolling at the beginning of the year. We go in, we do a little tilling, we get the water turned on. But boy, they just sort of sustain themselves up there once they get rolling. And we're there in case they need something, but they take care of themselves. It's a really great group up there.
What's the craziest thing you've ever seen somebody grow up there, Steve?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. And every time I think, wow, I've never heard of such a thing, they come up with something new up there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're always trying new things, you know,
yeah.
But it has to be something that they can grow within our zones up here. But yeah, they'll try everything though. Yeah.
You'll see giant squash. I'm
sure. Yeah.
Some corn.
Yeah. And they're great, you know, and they give away things within each other. And, you know, that's the only thing. They can't sell anything up there. They just have to either give it away, you know, to friends and, you know, people in need or something, but they can't sell anything up there for profit. But
if you're just getting into gardening,
yeah,
this is a great opportunity because think of the knowledge that's up there.
Oh man. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
You'd
and they're
amazed.
All, it's amazing how helpful they are.
Yes.
It's, but don't break the rules.
Yeah. But don't break the rules. They do have rules.
I'm telling you. Yes. And you will hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You always end up having a few folks that got to keep everybody else in line.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think that would be absolutely amazing. If you've always wanted to grow a garden, maybe you don't have the room, maybe you live in an apartment, what a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah.
And even if you've never done it in your life,
yes,
this is still a great opportunity to get in there, join a community with this much knowledge that you could get for such a nominal fee.
Yeah, and the knowledge is right there. They're there to help you. So why not?
Yeah.
Why not give it a try?
What a fantastic experience. Yeah. All right. Now, moving on down the line, let's talk about the cemetery. When does the annual spring cleanup of our cemetery begin?
So basically from now until April 15th, tax day, through April 15th, if you have something that you've left up there at the grave sites and everything, you should have that removed, because after the 15th, the cemetery crew, which does an amazing job. I mean, they do a wonderful job up there. And they will come through and remove, you know, those plastic flowers that are there and any kind of debris that's around. They clean it up so that it doesn't get cluttered. And then it prepares it for the summer so their caretaking can happen without as many issues that are in there.
Yeah. So. And I imagine they take this very seriously and with as much respect as they can do. Exactly. Those folks are great about that kind of stuff up there. But if you have left maybe an item, a memory up there, and you would like to retrieve that, head on up there, folks, before April 15th. Get that picked up. I'm sure that they wouldn't mind you bringing it back after they get all their work done.
Right. Yep. There are a few things that they really frown more on, is like solar lights, shepherd's hooks, pinwheels, figurines that, you know, are in the lawn area, I'm sure.
Mm.
And then glass items, obviously, because if it breaks, then it becomes more of a hazard. But anything that could, like, you know, solar lights, you think, oh, I'm just lighting. Well, yeah, light pollution is a big thing. And it's not, it seems to be kind of dropping off a little bit, but light pollution is a big thing here too. So it's one of those, I can't get my solar lights to work. I must be putting them on the wrong side.
We did the same thing in the yard. We can't either. I swear, ran for a day and a half and that was about it.
And I'm like, oh, okay. But yeah, it's just a beautification thing too. And with Memorial Day coming up, you know, it's a time where I know they're doing a remembrance up at the Kane Champion Funeral Home alongside of there. So it's a preparation for that as well.
Yeah.
You just want a clean palette.
Yeah.
For the spring.
And it's, And now my parents are up there. So I'm thinking about what I've left up there. So I might have to run up and
just take a look
quick. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and we tend to do that. I mean, and once again, it's a memory. I mean, we all do it. There's traditions of coins for soldiers and things like that. So just head on up there and clean those things up for a little while. As Mr. Gage was talking about, a clean slate for the summer. You can always, it gives you a great reason to head back up there, visit your loved one.
Yep.
Talk to them about that item again.
The view up there alone is amazing.
Yeah.
And just to be, like you said earlier, is the green grass, and it's just, you it's so peaceful, actually.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then and what we always tell people too is, you know, the cemetery to us, it's another park.
Mm-hmm.
We call it a cemetery park.
Yeah.
If you go up there, it's amazing. The amount of folks that are running, walking around there, it's another park, right? Because it's such a beautiful place.
Yeah, and the history that's up there, the people that were so important to Sheridan.
Yeah,
it's an amazing place to just go and look.
Yep.
And it's
quiet, reflective.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. We were driving across the Midwest, and for those who've done so, they know about the little plots that are out there in the middle of nowhere. Maybe there was a town there once. Maybe there was a big family. But pull over and look at the history on those headstones.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It just kind of shocks you that far back.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and we think we're old out here. You go out east.
Yeah.
Not even
close. We're not in the ballpark. I mean, it's crazy.
All right. On that, we're going to take another quick commercial break. More with the city when we come back. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
This is Maren Borsheim with First Federal Bank and Trust.
And I'm Nicole Pierce. Buying a home just got more affordable.
With the Mortgage Rate Relief Program, qualified buyers may receive an interest rate up to 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
That could mean lower monthly payments on your primary residence.
If your household income qualifies, we'll walk you through everything.
Call us for all the details at First Federal Bank and Trust or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust, helping you get home. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The rodeo is part of who we are. It's our history, our identity. But boy, this is not your granddaddy's rodeo anymore. The YO is bigger, better, and bolder. Larger purses, tougher competition, and a whole lot of family fun. Come for the world champion Indian relay races, high-stakes PRCA action, and a warm welcome unlike anywhere else in the world. Get your tickets at SheridanYORodeo.com.
Chan Foster with Country Pet Inn and All Around Canine. You've had great success in adopting some of the more difficult dogs from the dog and cat shelter.
We've adopted close to 23 dogs from the animal shelter. About 85% have gone into service dog work.
And that's made a difference in both their lives and the owners.
Yeah, I'd like to think so, yeah.
So in some way, maybe the ones that people often consider to be difficult have potential that just isn't being correctly tapped into.
Yes, you see that a lot in your high drive dogs, where people don't know how to deal with the energy.
And so it's kind of interesting to match a person with potential who needs a little help.
Well said.
And then an animal with potential that also needs a little help, and they can kind of work together.
That's what you're looking for, where one is needing help in one area, the other is in another, and they meet in the middle. You're looking for how they can help each other in different situations when needed, because it truly is a team.
If you're struggling with your pet, take the first step on a better path. Contact Chan Foster at countrypetinn.com.
Man, oh man, it is great to be on the open road again. I'm looking forward to this hunting trip.
Yeah, me too. I am ready to hit the woods. But these wind farms we keep seeing, they are pissing me off. Let's turn on the radio and get some good news.
President Trump announced today his plan to terminate new windmill contracts.
We don't allow windmills. We're not allowing any windmills to go up.
I mean, hey, President Trump's got it right, but that Chuck Gray guy running for Congress is dead wrong.
Yeah, Gray voted to license windmills in Wyoming. You believe that? The one we just passed should have Chuck Gray's name all over it. Unfriggin' real.
Hey, what about Reed Raisner? Where's he stand?
Ah, Raisner's 100% MAGA. He'll help Trump kill the windmills, end the Green New Deal scam, and make America energy dominant. Reed Raisner's our kind of guy.
Right. Reed Raisner knows more American energy means more Wyoming jobs. Drill, baby, drill.
I'm Reed Raisner, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Reed Raisner for Wyoming.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Sheridan City Councilor Greg Luman and Parks Director Steve Gage. All right. I know the folks out there cleaning the cleats, getting the clubs ready. They want to know the information, Steve, so let's give it to them. Is Kendrick Golf Course open for the 2026 season?
It is open, yeah. We opened March 28th, so just be about almost 2 weeks ago. And yeah, it boomed. The first weekend, we had beautiful weather. It was about 72 degrees both days, opening weekend. We ran out of carts both days, which is a great thing to have as a problem. And yeah, we just got our numbers in, our preseason passes that we sold for, you know, about 3.5 months right before April 1st. They were up. They were the best sales that we'd had in about 6 years.
Wow.
And numbers wise, yep. So passes are up, people are out. And, you know, obviously with this early season weather, yeah, warm weather, folks have, they've probably been playing, you know, since February with the weather we've been having. So, yeah, so golf is open. We poured the new back nine cart paths last fall. Was a project. Mm-hmm. Those were in bad shape. So those have been done. People are appreciating that. Yeah, so get out, get your passes. They are for sale. You can get those at the clubhouse now. You can get a season pass. Obviously, you can do daily golf, daily greens fees if you want to go out, if you don't want to be a season pass holder. We've got all the practice facilities out there if you want to go test it a little bit, get on the driving range.
That's where I'd spend most of my day.
That's what I need the most.
You see me out there, you're not safe. It does not matter where you are.
But yeah, it looks like a good season. You know, the course the last few years has just been in great shape. You know, we've done a little bit of some extra landscaping things the last few years, and our superintendents have just done a great job with that place. And it's beautiful for a municipal course. You're not going to find a nicer course in the state of Wyoming. Those guys take really good care of it. And our management team out there in the clubhouse, it's really great. The course is just, it's a cool amenity for our community.
Yeah. And, Steve, what are the challenges to keeping a golf course green? Because, I mean, that's above and beyond when you start talking about, you know, the putting areas, as soft as that is. And I'm sure that's a very specific type of grass, if not moss.
Yeah, it is. I mean, just the, you know, the agronomy that goes into taking care of a golf course. I mean, you got to have some good superintendents, and that's just a whole science to itself. We're pretty blessed to have the superintendents that we do. They've got a lot of knowledge, those two guys. And, you know, they've just got a system. They've got it down pat, but you got to stick with it. I mean, we all know how golf courses run, right? I mean, those guys, they put in the hours. They don't get a lot of rest for 6 months. There's not a lot of break for those guys. They know come April 1st, they turn it on, and, you know, they don't get to relax a lot until the end of the summer. So it's a lot of watering. It's a lot of fertilization, pampering those greens. And there's a lot that goes into that, the mowing, and, you know, there's a lot of seasonal staff, that goes into that. So yeah. It's a lot of work, the golf courses, but they just do a terrific job. So.
Is there seasonal folks up there? Do they also kind of moonlight with you, or do you guys, you're separate?
Nope, they're separate. They have their own staff. You know, they start a little bit slow in April. You know, they've got three or four people there, but then they will pick up staff as they get into May and then June, you know, as the season goes, you know, as the golfers start to pick up. Once they get to by end of May, June, you know, they'll be fully staffed.
You see a lot of the high school kids jump onto that seasonal work.
Uh-huh. Oh,
especially
absolutely.
The athletes that really enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they love it.
Okay. So. And that'll open kind of as needed. People should just check back, you think?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
Now, you're full when it comes to staff.
For staff?
Yeah.
Yeah, 95%. We've got a couple of vacancies still, but not much. Yeah. Which has changed for us. I don't know. You know, I think it's just word of mouth. And when I first started years ago, you know, gosh, I remember we were at the end of May still looking for kid. Boy, I hope we can get some help.
Yeah.
We were scraping, boy. We were worried. And now we're 1st of April and we're staffed.
That's great.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. I think we got that going, and I don't know. We got, you know, Johnny and his little brother and his little brother, and, you know, and now we've got them now. We keep them coming if you treat them right. And, you know, and I think kids, you know, they like to be outside, you know, get some fresh air and some sunshine, and you know, I think they like it. So it's a good job.
What a fantastic opportunity, really. Yeah. You know, you get to work for the city. You can throw that on your resume as you're getting ready to go into college. And you get to spend all day in the parks, and even, you know, you're kind of doing the dirty work of the park, but the fact of the matter is you're still in the park. Like I said, you're outside, you're having fun, you're seeing the community.
Yeah.
What a great job.
Yeah.
Terrain changes, you know, you get to see new terrain every day.
Yes. You're not in the same place.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Is that why you jumped on that, Steve?
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're going to let that pass it up.
Yeah.
Now, there is a pro up at our golf course, is there not?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. So there's lessons. We've got a pro. So if anybody, you know, I should be first in line, I can tell you that.
I got a slice to get rid of before I ever get out there.
Yeah. That's my game. So, yep. There's a pro, and they're giving lessons. So if anybody's interested in that, take advantage of that as well. So
food and beverage options, I would imagine.
Food and beverage options are there. Absolutely. So, a couple of quick projects, for the summer. We've got, Blacktooth Park, which we all know has been ongoing. We've got the playground up there, the fields. One of our last phases is the landscaping is going to go in up there this spring, which is our turf, our trees, is going to go in. So that's sort of, you know, the frosting on the cake up there at the park, which is going to look really nice. And get out and visit our disc golf course, which is up at Malcolm Wallet Park, north end of town. Sort of got it in, a little bit roughed out last summer, but that's fully ready to go. 9 holes up there. So bring your discs, free to the public. Just come on out and play.
Kind of amazed that people are still doing that.
Oh, it's picking up.
It's
picking back up.
Oh, yeah.
I remember around the turn of the century when I was going down to the university. Yeah. Boy, everybody had the collection of discs, and they were out and about. That's good to see that it's coming back.
Yeah. So that's going on again. And then we've got a new bike trail that's going to go in Hume Draw.
Oh, wow.
Coming down behind the hospital, single track, so kids can sort of Baja down Hume Draw on their bikes. Yeah.
Ron Richter, our own reporter, he's going to love that.
Yeah. So that'll be going in, May and June. They're just going to dig a single track that's going to come down Hume Draw. It's like 1.2 miles some people that sort of like that downhill biking down through that terrain. So it's a couple of things we got going on. So throughout the summer, so a lot of stuff. And then obviously some big events going on in the park. You know, we've got opening of the pool.
That's a big one.
Right.
People coming are really up looking forward to that.
In June. Mm-hmm. And what else we got going on? The bike event.
Yep.
Going on in June.
So. Yeah, the Dead Swede.
Right. Dead Swede.
Coming up in June. So a lot going on. We're about to bust open here pretty quick coming in spring.
I'm losing time with you, but there is a curiosity that I have. And that is when you get your trees, when you get the grass, what's the plan that you follow when you look at a park or a space? Who's the one who sits down with the colored pencils and decides, okay, this tree's going to go here, that one's going to go here? There's got to be...
That would be Clark.
Real
Clark Van Hoosier, our city arborist. Yep. They were just doing that yesterday.
Yeah.
Very, very great. You just mentioned that. That's what they were doing for Blacktooth Park. So he and Pete Feinbergs were just up there yesterday.
How cool
would
that job be?
Pens. They were going through the irrigation, trying to figure out strategically where all the trees were going to go. They were looking at, you know, line of sight. They were looking at the mountain view. They didn't want to block certain things with the buildings. You know, they were looking at canopy trees versus ornamental trees in certain situations with the playground. I mean, they took all that stuff in, you know, to account as they were going through. And they just came back and showed me that plan at like 3 o'clock yesterday.
How cool.
And it was
that?
So cool to see.
Yeah.
And they had so much fun doing it. Because they had to take all those things into account.
Yeah.
Right?
You can call it giddy. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing to talk to Clark about
all
this stuff. And he just gets that look in his face and it's like, yes, you do have a passion for this.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
way.
And they also have to think about diversity of trees, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't want to just plant, you know, we're not going to go up and plant 30 of the same species because if it gets a bug or an infestation of something that's going to kill one species. So they have to think about that diversity factor, right? As well as ornamentals or canopy or large shade trees or whatever it is. So there's just a lot of thought process that goes into, you know, when you're going to do a park or a green space or whatever that is.
Every little thing is
every little thing. Plan. Yeah. I mean, are these leaves going to blow from east to west or, you know, into a playground setting or, you know, needles in traffic or whatever that's going to be. So there's just so many little steps to think about in that planning process for them. But
what a cool job.
But they love it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they get into that stuff. So those trees are going to be ordered. They're in that process right now, and then they will be planted. Probably won't be planted. They'll get all the turf and irrigation. It will be in this spring, and then they'll plant those trees in the fall. They're going to wait for that turf to sort of get established throughout the summer, and then they'll put the trees in the fall.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so, real quick, last question for you. Councilman, if someone wanted to volunteer for the cleanup day, what do they need to do?
Just you could call Selena up at the landfill and sign up for it. And then you just, they give you the location, you show up that day.
And pick up trash.
Yeah. And they'll provide bags, I'm sure.
Fantastic. She's great up there too.
She
a creative mind.
Very much so.
Someone
she's awesome.
Who can look at waste and see something useful.
And that it go up to the landfill, it's changed so much over the last 3 years. And now they've got approval for the building. They've gotten some estimates on that and everything. So it is going to evolve into just a really, they've done an amazing job up there. And the other thing I was going to mention is the Arboretum. It's right by Kendick. You want to see the different phases of all the years that these guys have been working on. That area is amazing. And they just added some more I saw the other day.
Yeah.
So if you want to see the different phases, head up there and enjoy that Arboretum.
Very cool.
It is amazing.
I want to thank you gentlemen so much for coming in, taking the time to be with me this morning. It's always great having you both.
It's good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Let's not wait too long
right,
until the
exactly.
next time. All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Sheridan, I'm Nicole Pierce.
And I'm Maren Borsheim with First Federal Bank and Trust.
Dreaming about owning your first home?
The Mortgage Rate Relief Program could lower your interest rate by 1.5% below the current market rate with a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage.
That means real monthly savings.
It's available to qualifying homebuyers purchasing a primary residence.
Let's see if you qualify.
Funds are limited, so stop in, call us, or visit efirstfederal.bank.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Homeownership just got more affordable. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Here in Wyoming, your roof better be tougher than the weather. At Branded 307 Roofing, we install commercial purlin-bearing roofing, residential metal roofs, and standing seam systems, built to handle hail, wind, snow, and whatever else the bighorns can throw at it. Metal roofing is up for the challenge. Whether it's home, shop, ranch, or commercial building, we build roofs that last, with craftsmanship that's built different. No shortcuts, no excuses, just quality roofing, period. Call us today, Branded 307, branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Hi, this is Chris Hayden here at your locally owned Sheridan Motors. As summer travel season rolls in, now is the perfect time to make sure your vehicle is road trip ready. Our factory trained technicians provide high quality service at fair, honest prices, so you can hit the road with confidence. We even offer convenient local pickup and delivery, plus every service includes a free car wash. Stop by or give us a call today and let Sheridan Motors help you get ready for wherever summer takes you.
Beginning this week, all living room upholstery at Moss Holders is on sale. That means every sectional, all sofas, even all reclining furniture is discounted. Choose from a wide selection of in-stock items or customize your favorite piece in the fabric or leather of your choosing. Either way, you still save. Moss Holders carries a wide variety of products from more than 40 manufacturers, so you can find the piece that fits your style and your budget. Stop by Moss Holders' 18,000 square foot showroom today. That's Moss Holders' living room upholstery sale going on now. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
Most contractors don't just do one thing. One day you're framing, the next you're pouring concrete, then finishing out a job start to finish. But here's the problem. If your insurance only lists one of those, part of your business may not be covered. Iron Valley Insurance Group sees this mistake all the time. Classifications matter, and if they're not right, your coverage doesn't match what you actually do. Jessica Weaver, certified insurance counselor in Sheridan, makes sure your policy reflects your real work. Iron Valley Insurance Group, forged in strength, guided by compassion. Request a quote at Iron Valley IN.